Today on Real Radio.
If you have been brought up, taught that you can't go directly to Jesus, you can't go directly to the Father in prayer, that you need a mediator on this earth, listen carefully.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most recited chapters in all of Scripture, probably because the Apostle Paul speaks of love so many times. But as we're learning, he means a certain kind of love, a divine love. And this is why pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs has entitled this study, Living the Love of God.
He's saying, get close to me. What do you see when you see? Don't you see Jesus? This morning it was cool. I mean, wasn't it like freezing? It was like 60 degrees this morning when we woke up. And Jesus, it would be like Jesus is in your backyard. You're standing out there in your underwear. Oh my gosh, it's freezing. And Jesus would say, come here. Come over here. And the closer you get, the warmer you get. And he wraps you up in his robe, looks down at you and says, how's it going? Well, it's going fine now, now that I'm near you. You guys have all heard this before. Sounds kind of corny. It works great, though, in a little Sunday school class of five-year-olds. But if you have all your coals burning in your barbecue and you remove one coal from that group, that the coals will keep burning bright and the little one distant will turn cold. If he gets back into the group, he gets all warmed up again. You need to get back in the group. I'm not saying join a church. You need to get back in the group of fellowshipping with God's people where there should be hot hearts for God. It's not that it's a church. It's not that it's a building, or it's not that it's a name. It's that Jesus is exalted. And the next thing we see, if you've responded to his love, it's by accepting God's love personally. You've got to do that personally. Man-made religion creates obstacles to God. Religion puts all kinds of things. Imagine you're getting ready to run after God. Bang, the gun goes off and you're running. And there's some person all dressed up in religiosity out in front of you throwing out tacks and bricks and trying to trip you up. That's what man-made religion does. People want to follow God. I want God. Where's God? When can I come and appear before my God? And somebody will say, we'll show you. Follow us. And as they're going, they're dropping all this trash and debris. And you're going, man, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. You know what? If you're doing Christianity like that, you're doing it probably under man-made pretenses. Man-made obstacles. Didn't Jesus say, come to me? He didn't say, now look, hurdle, then duck. Spin around, jump, and you might make it. No, he didn't say that. We need to be very careful that we accept the love of God personally. Now listen, I got to go through this quick because it's big but meaningful. Judaism has done more to remove the person of Messiah out of Scripture. I'm not coming down against Jewish people. I'm coming down against Judaism. Judaism says, well, unless you're circumcised, you're not going to heaven. Unless you keep these rules and regulations, you're not going to heaven. Unless you do these things, you're not going. Paul called them Judaizers. They talked about circumcision. In Galatians, in the region of Galatia, they said, well, unless you're circumcised, we don't care if you're Gentiles or not, you just got to be circumcised to get into heaven. That's what they began to say. And so Paul called them, listen, I know it's early, but this would be stronger than a cup of coffee right now. Paul said, they think that by circumcision of the flesh in the outward of the body gets you into acceptance with God and his love. Well then, why don't they come forth and let's cut them completely off? He used the word mutilation. You think cutting off a lot of skin makes you holy? Paul says, come on out. We'll just cut everything off. I'm not joking. That's what he said. Can you imagine? That's religion. Anything in your life that causes you to say, God, look at me now. Aren't I something? It's a dangerous thing. That whole thinking is what's rooted behind God helps those who help themselves. Was that your mom and dad's favorite verse? Like it was my mom and dad's favorite verse. I grew up hearing it. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I always hear, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And then I read the Bible and it says, God helps those who cannot help themselves. That's where I sign up. All those who can't help themselves get in this line. Yoo-hoo, that's me. Yeah. God does it. If you need to close your eyes, close them. If you want to follow along, follow along. But get this, it's Hebrews chapter 9, and to me, this is like fresh water. If you're bound up in religion without a relationship with Christ and experiencing him personally, listen to this. If you've been, listen, with all love and with all respect, I say to you, if you have been brought up, taught that you can't go directly to Jesus, you can't go directly to the Father in prayer, that you need a mediator, on this earth, listen carefully. Hebrews 9:1. Now the first covenant, that's the Old Testament, had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. That's in Jerusalem, was. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room, where the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread, that's the manna. This was called the holy place. Behind the veil, or the second curtain, was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the golden covered ark of the covenant. This, you guys all saw Indiana Jones, original version, right? Remember that? The ark of the covenant? This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets, that's the Ten Commandments, of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, or the Shekinah. Remember the two angels in the movie? That Spielberg did an amazing biblical job on that. Those two angels bowing down over the lid? Okay. Overshadowing the atonement cover, that's the mercy seat. The lid of the box is the mercy seat, or the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, that's the Holy of Holies, and that only once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself. Why? Every earthly priest is a sinner. Every one of them. They need Christ. Well, you don't mean Billy Graham, do you? Yes, Billy Graham. Well, you certainly don't mean the Pope. The Pope needs a mediator. His name's Jesus. Every person cannot get around this. Watch what happens here. Some of this is awesome. That he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance regarding their sins. Verse 8, and the Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the holy place, the most holy place, had not yet been disclosed or made possible as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. The temple had to be destroyed. The Ark of the Covenant had to be removed. This is an illustration between the present time, or for the present time, indicating that the gifts and the sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Why? Because it was religion. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hello, are you with me? Are you a Christian today? Blood's been applied to you. God sees it, and he says, you get to enter in, whereby in the old days, the high priest only got to enter in once a year, and even that, he only saw my glory. He didn't get to talk to me. But you who are Christians today, that have the blood of Christ on you, His sin, his blood has washed away your sins. You say, what if they found the Ark of the Covenant today? What if they found it? Would we fry? Would our faces melt and be consumed in its presence? No, you could walk up to it and sit between the two cherubim. Because God sees the blood of Christ on you, the believer. That ought to cause a Pentecostal church to go crazy if we were one. Verse 20, Hebrews 9 says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our conscience or our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's not, by the way, that's not water water. That's the word water. Let me tell you what Tozer says, A.W. Tozer. Listen carefully. With the veil removed by the rending of Jesus' flesh, with nothing on God's side to prevent us from entering, why do we tarry without? Why do we consent to abide all our days just outside the Holy of Holies and never enter into all to look upon God? We hear the bridegroom say, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. We sense that God is calling for us, but still we fail to draw near to him. And the years pass, and we grow old and tired in the outer courts of his tabernacle. What doth hinder us? The answer usually given simply is this, that we are cold. Will not explain all the facts. There is something more serious than coldness of heart, something that may be back of the coldness and be the cause of its existence. What is it? What but the presence of a veil in our hearts? A veil not taken away as the first veil was, but which remains there still, shutting out the light and hiding the face of God from us. It is the veil of our fleshly fallen nature that we still allow to live on. Unjudged within us, uncrucified, unrepudiated. It is the closely woven veil of the self-life which we have never truly acknowledged, of which we have been secretly ashamed, and which for these reasons we have never brought to the judgment of the cross. It is not too mysterious, this opaque veil, nor is it hard to identify. We have to but look into our own hearts and see it there. Listen to this, sewn and patchworked together, repaired as it may be, but there nevertheless it is there, an enemy to our lives and an ineffective block to our spiritual progress, the self-life. We're in the courts. We're Christians, we're going to heaven, but there's never been a dynamic in our lives. Why? We have failed to get closer to him, because when we get closer to him, his brilliant light exposes everything. Makes everything clear. At the end of this second point, it is this. Have you responded to his love by allowing God's love publicly? By allowing God's love publicly, that is to be displayed in your life. It's not humanly possible for you and I to love other people with the agape love of God. That's why, listen, we are adamant about your marriage getting fixed. We are very aware of your justified hurts and pains that are real. We're very aware that that person's lied to you, cheated, or whatever it is. We are aware of that. But do you understand that when we ask God for a love greater than ourselves, which is his love, and he gives it, he distributes it in our heart as a tool of reconciliation. When that is refused, God allows other means. But it's always that first. Third and final point is this. Have you become more like Jesus in your life? Before we press on regarding the gifts, my pastor taught us at Calvary Costa Mesa, I don't care how high you jump in a religious gathering or in a spiritual meeting. It's how straight you walk after you land. I like that. Have you become more like Jesus? He says in verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And though I give my body to be burned, that's absolutely self-sacrifice, isn't it? But have not love, it profits me nothing. Wow, do you understand the magnitude of the statement? This is huge. You're not going to like this. You can be a Gandhi, you can be a Mother Teresa, you can be a you or me, and if we don't have the love of God, all of that stuff in the worldly economy was really amazing. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? To God, that means nothing. If Gandhi was not born again, Gandhi, his efforts were nothing. If Mother Teresa was not born again, if she didn't know Jesus personally, if you and I, we could, listen, we could do miracles, and if we don't know Jesus, it's zip. And that's why it's so quiet in here right now. That's an amazing thing. Three things very quickly. You will become more like Jesus by coming into his presence. By coming into his presence, we must approach him and we must decide to do that now. I mentioned to you about cathedrals or temples or churches built to the glory of God. That's excellent. But unless there's personal interaction, they're dead. It's just absolutely dead. Don't imagine that there's a God and that you can imagine that you can have a relationship with him and that you can imagine there must be a heaven someday. You're to experience these realities now. Secondly, you will, listen, if you're becoming more like Jesus, you will be bowing your knee before him happily, gladly. For though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I want to bow my knee to Jesus first. Hollywood is full of good deeds. Isn't that a weird thing to say? They are, though. I just read last night that, what's his name? The Bridges. He's got a lot of hair. Looks like a lion. Jeff Bridges. I meant that in a complimentary way. He's got awesome hair. The guy's just awesome looking. Very manly man looking dude. God bless him. I just hope he knows Jesus. He is committed now to make sure he's launched a movement to eradicate hunger in America. Well, God bless him. But listen, may God bless him first with the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. I hope Jeff Bridges, through his wonderful acts, winds up to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the one who feeds the poor, both spiritually and physically. But here's the great thing. It means everything with Jesus. If it's inspired and propelled by Jesus, it's everything. And that begins with the bowing of the knee to Christ. In John chapter 12, time doesn't allow me to read it all. In John chapter 12, there were those who were pursuing. They had heard about Christ. They wanted to know more about him. And they came, the Bible says in John 12, 21, and they said, listen, we don't care about what's going on. We've heard about what's happening. We want to see Jesus. The world wants to see Jesus. People sitting next to you want to see Jesus. And listen, you want to see Jesus. Don't you want to see Jesus come out of my life? And don't I want to see Jesus come out of your life? I love you, and I know you love me, but we don't need to see one another anymore. Sir, we would see Jesus. And then finally this, and we end. Are you becoming more like Jesus, verse 3 teaches us? If so, you will be by singling out your heart's desire. You'll prioritize your hearts. You'll single out, or singling out your heart's desire will be an effort for you. And I'm going to give you this verse, and then I'm going to show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, therefore, brethren, but even be more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That is, pursue God. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is exciting. Look to the screen. I got to show you something, and this is a visual picture that I hope that you guys take home, that you enjoyed immensely. There you go. This is a pretty good cartoon or representation drawing of the temple that stood during the time of Jesus, okay? You see the all the hardware around the area. This is the Temple Mount. And if you could see where you'd walk in through the great two pillars, there's the steps heading up. One is the holy place, and then back to the rear is the Holy of Holies. So get that pretty picture in your mind. All of these outer court items would be used first before entering in as prescribed by God. By the way, everything you see here is a model, a picture of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what the temple exhibited. Next slide. And this is the final slide, and this is what I want you to go home with. To your right-hand side, this is how the believer would approach. You would approach the first set of steps. You would come to the second step. By the way, you can walk all the way around the great court or the outer court all your life, and you could tell people, I've been to the temple, right? You're telling the truth. But if somebody asked you, what is it like? I've never been, what's it like? Well, I've been to the temple. I haven't been in the temple. You guys, I've been to probably 50 countries, but I've only been to really like 11. I've gone to the bathroom in about 50 countries. For real. Visiting the airport and getting a connecting flight in Sweden does not mean I can tell you all about Sweden. I can tell you they have boy and girl bathrooms in the same bathroom. It freaked me out. Going to the bathroom and there's a girl right next to you. I couldn't wait to get out of there. But I can't tell you about Sweden. I just can tell you they have freaky bathrooms. You can go to church all your life and never know diddly about God. I've been to church all my life. You've only been in the outer court, my friend. Well, I've been going to church and I got involved a few times. And you've been in the inner court. That's as far as we can go as a group. The tour ends here. You've got to decide to go to the brazen altar and wash in repentance. I can't grab you and hold your head under that water. I'd love to. If that's how you get into heaven, I'd hold you down. I had a guy last time at the beach tell me, I'm a big sinner, Pastor Jack. Hold me down a long time. Isn't that sweet? No, I think that's neat, and I did. You got to come out of that act of repentance, and then, listen, only then are you washed. God says, yep, you're clean, come on in, and you go into the holy place. Some people enter into that spot and worship. They haven't come here to be entertained. They've come to worship God. They came with a purpose. I'm going to that church. I'm going to gather around with others that worship. And I know those songs aren't for me. They're for God. And I'm going to make them my offering to the Lord. That nickel I put in the offering, that's to the glory of God. That's not for anything else. I've come to encounter God. And you've come to the holy place. The Holy of Holies, where the ark that represents God's presence. You can only do that at home. Amen. You can't do that here. Sorry. You got to go home and do that. It's private. Amen. Listen, I'm glad that you love your husband and you love your wife. I'm glad. And you can hold their hand here. You can put your arm around them here. But there's some things reserved for home. And that's just how it is with Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we call this Living the Love of God. That's the title of today's lesson. In fact, Living the Love of God is actually a mini-series taken from this part of Paul's letter, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we realize that it's not always possible for you to hear every single broadcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs when it airs. That's why we've made subscribing to podcasts of Real Radio real easy. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right that says simply podcasting. Again, that's realradioactive.org. And then click on podcasting. It's real easy. Subscribe and you'll never miss an edition of Real Radio. Listen to each broadcast at the time that's best for you. That's at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.